coming to you now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome again to Bread of His Presence. If you would, go ahead and turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 5. That's Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 21 to 34 during our time together today. And in this passage, we find Jesus arriving at the fishing village of Capernaum on the northwestern side of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum, as you may know, was the home base of Jesus' ministry there in Galilee. And he had left there, he had crossed the Sea of Galilee to where he met and healed a couple of guys who had been possessed by demons. And now he's come back. And when his boat touches shore, he is greeted by a very large crowd filled with people who need his healing touch. And one member of that crowd that stood high and above all the rest was a ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus. And Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter whom the text says is at the point of death. And so he, no doubt filled with anxiety over his daughter's condition and his desperation for her to receive healing, he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus, worships him, and begs him to come and lay his hands on her so that she might be made well. And Jesus, filled with compassion, goes with him. Now, as they're heading for Jairus' house, Jesus is waylaid by a woman with an issue of blood, who lays hold of the hem of his garment, more specifically the tzitzit, or the tassels. And the reason she does that is because of a prophecy given to us in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, which says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." In other words, in his talit, his prayer shawl. "And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture." Now, there's another incident where we see the hem of Jesus' garment being laid hold of. Later, after the feeding of the 5,000, and then Jesus is walking on the water with Peter joining him there on the waves, they come to the shores of Gennesaret. And it says, and in Mark's gospel, this is the very next chapter, it says in verse 53 and following, "When they had crossed over, they came to shore at Gennesaret and anchored there. As they got out of the boat, people immediately recognized him. They hurried throughout that region and began to carry the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, into villages, towns, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch just the end of his robe. And everyone who touched it was healed." Now, what that shows us is that many people recognized the fulfillment in Jesus of this prophecy given in Malachi 4:2. And even more importantly, they were laying hold of that truth for themselves. And that's really something that you and I need to do as well. We need to recognize who Jesus is, absolutely. But then we also have to come to the point where we lay hold of Jesus ourselves. Because it's only in laying hold of him ourselves that we can receive what this woman received and what Jairus receives in the following passage: mercy and grace to help in time of need. You know, somebody posted on Facebook a really great caption that read, "If your life is hanging by a thread, just make sure it's the hem of his garment." That is what this woman did. And the moment she does this, she is healed of her affliction. Now, what is so remarkable here, and in many other healings of this nature in the gospel accounts, is that normally the impure defiles the pure. However, in this case, the opposite happens. The purity of Jesus the Messiah and his tassels remain uncompromised, while instead the cause of the woman's impurity is instantly removed. Instead of her impurity passing to Jesus, his purity passes to her. And in the following incident, the raising of the dead girl, this principle is exemplified even more strongly, since Jesus himself initiates contact with what is regarded in Judaism as the primary source of all impurity, a dead body. Instead of the uncleanness of death passing to Jesus, because he is the author of life and is the life, life passes from him to the dead body. He remains clean. And more than that, he extinguishes death and makes that raised person clean. And what we see here regarding this woman with the issue of blood is how deep this extinguishing power went. Because the healing of Jesus is not just a physical healing. No, as we're going to see in a few minutes, it is a spiritual healing as well. Now, one thing we have to understand about the power of Jesus is that it was not merely a force leaving his body. No, his power is always personal. He is always aware of his power and those around him that he is touching or who are touching him. There's nothing mystical about his garments. No, his garments didn't have any healing power of themselves. He was that healing power, and he knew precisely those who were receiving his healing, which is why it says in verse 30, "And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" Now, Jesus knew exactly who it was, but he does the rabbi thing. He asks the question because he knows that the spiritual condition of the woman still needs to be addressed. And so he asks, "Who touched my garments?" Now, his disciples are a little bit confounded at this. They say, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now, this woman had been afraid for the past 12 years of her life. She had been afraid of embarrassment, afraid of rejection. But this was a whole different kind of fear. This was the kind of fear that came from recognizing and feeling the God of the universe reach out and touch her body. This was like the fear of Moses before the burning bush, an awesome awareness that she was in the presence of God. And realizing this, she, here it is again, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And how does Jesus respond to her? It says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" Now, that word disease, masti in the Greek, it literally means whip or scourge. And it illustrates the traumatic nature of the trial that this woman had endured. And that just shows how much Jesus understands the trial that she has gone through and the severity of the pain that this affliction has caused her. It's been like a whip on her back. But Jesus' words here transcended her physical condition, indicating that this physical daughter of Abraham had become a spiritual daughter of God. The common Greek word for physical healing is iaomai. That's the term that Mark uses when he writes that the woman was healed of her affliction. Luke uses a synonymous term, therapeuo, from which the English word therapeutic is derived, when he notes that this woman could not be healed by anyone. But the word used here for being made well, here in verse 34, is sozo, a term usually used in the New Testament for being saved from sin. What Jesus is indicating to her is that her faith in him had saved her. And his saying, "Go in peace," was much more than just a nice way of saying goodbye. No, he was saying shalom, perfect peace. Perfect peace has now been made not just in your body, but between you and God. Now, not everyone who received physical healing from Jesus also received that pronouncement of spiritual healing. No, that required a deeper faith, not just in laying hold of Jesus for physical healing, but in claiming him as the Lord of your life. But there were a number of others. You'll remember the prostitute who came to Jesus while he was dining in the house of one of the Pharisees. And where did she come? The feet of Jesus. And not only that, but she even anointed the feet of Jesus with perfume. She washed them with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair. What does Jesus then say to her? "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Shalom." In Mark 10:52, Jesus says to a formerly blind man named Bartimaeus, to whom he just gave a brand new set of eyeballs, "Go, your faith has saved you." In Luke 17:19, Jesus heals 10 men of leprosy, and they all run off, getting all that most of them had come for, the physical healing. But then one of them stops and turns around, and he comes back. And it says, he fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you." Do you begin to see the pattern? It's so clear in this passage that because of this woman's faith, Jesus declares her to be saved. He even calls her daughter, showing that because of her faith, she has become a daughter, not just of Abraham, but of God. And when he says, "Go in peace," he's saying to her that she is now at peace, in perfect shalom with God. Because to be at peace with Jesus is to be at peace with God, because he is God in the flesh. And all who lay hold of him, who through the cross grab the hem of his garment, can find perfect peace with God. You know, maybe right now you sense that there is uncleanness between you and God, that you and he are not at perfect shalom. I want to tell you today that that peace is available and can be found right now at the feet of Jesus. Now, trials may still come, but under the shadow of his wings, we can find shelter and the hope that either in this world or in the next, we will find perfect healing. But the most important healing we can receive is available at this very moment at the feet of Jesus. When we reach out to him and invite him to be the Lord of our life, to remove all our uncleanness, he can and he will do it. He has promised to do it. And if you need him to do it, invite him to do so today. Come to his feet. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.